I'm Steve Potter. And later on Cityscape, author Elaine Veitz will join us. Her latest mystery, Bored Stiff, is set in a Florida beach town, but a murder investigation leads her back to St. Louis. And here in St. Louis right now is a new restaurant concept that just opened in the Central West End. Sound Bites is our monthly segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine. And for a closer look at this, we welcome Sauce's senior staff writer, LaGaia Figueres, and the general manager of Central Table Food Hall, Matt McGuire. Hi and welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having us.
Matt, just as a little background, you previously managed a brasserie?
Correct.
But before that, you owned and operated King Louis, which I have to tell you was one of my favorite places to go for a long time.
Oh, great.
Every time
you.
I drive down Shoto, I kind of look over there and think about it.
We're in the same boat. Yep.
And didn't our friends next door at Donnybrook, the Donnybrook...
Every Friday.
Yeah, all the hosts from Donnybrook would go there after the show,
yep,
right?
Yeah, every Friday,
yeah,
for sure.
I bet you miss it.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, LaGaia, before we go any further, we just want to set the record straight.
Sure.
Because we kind of made a little change in the programming due to circumstances beyond our control. I know you had published in Sauce Magazine that author Michael Pollan was going to join us today.
That's
just
correct.
Didn't work out the last minute.
You know, sometimes you have to do a cover story for the New York Times Magazine, so.
Yeah, well.
We'll give him some leeway.
I guess we can take a backseat to that. But anyway, I know Don Marsh has interviewed him, and he's going to be on, that interview will be aired on St. Louis on the Air on Monday.
That's wonderful. And yesterday, we were really excited that he was part of a Sauce Celebrity Chef Series speakers event, and a lot of people in town got a chance to listen. So that's great.
I hope he's enjoying St. Louis. Well, this month, Sauce Magazine, you feature your hit list and where you recommend this time, maybe it's always the same, five restaurants you should check out this month in St. Louis. And one of them happens to be Central Table Food Hall.
Central Table Food Hall, that's correct. That's in the Central West End at 23 South Euclid Avenue. For people who need to kind of, you know, get a sense of where that is, it's between Forest Park Avenue and Laclede.
Matt, I saw a picture of the building. I just, you know, I know that area really well. I just can't picture it. It's got big windows, though, right?
Yeah, it's a relatively new building. I think it's 2 years old. It's a BJC building. There used to be a bunch of brownstones there, I think, years ago, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a brand new building, so it's sort of disorienting to folks who know the neighborhood well. But it's right across the street from Tom's Bar and Grill, right at the corner of Forest Park Avenue.
Well, it looks very inviting from the outside with the big rounded window and so forth. Yeah. Now, so this is really an unusual concept for St. Louis. As I understand, there are similar things like this, I guess, in New York and L.A. maybe?
And L.A. For anybody who's gone to Mario Batali's Italy in New York City or in L.A., Umami Catesin, the idea is basically, you might want to call it a food court, but we'd rather not, and I think that's one reason why we wanted to come here today and explain exactly what that is.
Yeah, food court sounds like something at the mall.
Correct, and this is way better than what you're going
food
to see at a mall.
What was the term I read? Emporium.
Food emporium is one way to say it. Another one, the idea of like a market meets Main Street restaurant and retail destination is another way that they've been trying to explain this to people.
Okay. Well, Matt, this is your baby, so you explain it to us.
Well, essentially, I think LaGaia said it well, but you can have a different kind of food experience each day that you come. I mean, we have sushi, we have pizza, pasta, grilled steaks, grilled fish.
Would be at separate stations as opposed to sitting down ordering off one menu, right?
Well, there's actually two distinct service models, which I think this is a great opportunity to talk about that. So at lunch, you go to each one of those stations, and it's built for speed at lunch. You can go to the hearth station for pizza. You could go to the market to get sushi to grab and go. You could go to the deli portion to have sandwiches and salads. But in the evening, it is one menu. You're seated by a host. You sit down, and you have a traditional dinner experience. But all those kitchens are in view while you're eating. So you can see everybody producing all those various foods under one roof. So it's a pretty compelling space, mm-hmm, for sure.
And you've just been open since the first of the month, so just days, literally.
Yeah, this is last night, I think, was our eighth dinner service.
So. Well, and I keep reading about it. The communal, that term, comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I was at a place in Chicago. It was called Public House or something like that, where everybody sat at the same table. So is that what this is about?
There are a couple of seating areas like that. how that works out. For lunch, it seems to be a lot easier. In dinner, those probably will end up being, you know, seating for large parties for sure. But there are a couple areas like that, but not many. Most of it's fairly traditional.
But it's kind of interesting because as Matt was explaining to me earlier, when you do come in with a large group, for instance, if you've got people from BJC and, you know, you're with your colleagues at lunchtime and you do want to sit down, there are, you know, some great spaces that are conducive to almost, you know, extending a conversation or a meeting to over lunch, you know, or breakfast.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, since this is such a different, sort of a different concept, what made you think it might work here?
I think the neighborhood. I don't think that's this place could live anywhere else in St. Louis other than the West End.
That's interesting.
Because of the density at BJC and because of the foot traffic at lunch, it's already – you could see glimpses of what it can become and will become hopefully in time, where people are buying stuff in the retail to take home. People are using it for lunch in a casual setting, have already used it for, you know, a more formal dinner – and have used it, you know, for late afternoon drinks at the bar. So it is turning into already, with just 8 days in, to what it could be.
So what are you hearing from people?
I think people really like it. I think that folks really. I think if we do our job, this will turn into something that will be a great asset to the neighborhood. You'll be able to buy things for your home. You'll be able to dine there in a casual setting. That they could really use it. As a small grocer and a place to eat, I think.
I think one of the parts, too, that we really should emphasize is, and this is what makes it distinct from, like, you know, we were talking about a food court at a mall before, is the sourcing and the idea that this is a scratch kitchen. And so what they're doing is not just, you know, bringing in any old cheese. This is highly local cheese. These are artisanal products that they're working with, and they're coming from right around the Midwest and very close to home. And the other thing is that calling it a scratch kitchen means they're truly making everything as much as possible in-house. That means hand making your pizzas and your flatbreads, you know, and I mean, all of that, they're doing it. Heck, even condiments, you know. So that's awfully unusual for something that you might think of as food court.
That's Lagaya Figueres from Sauce Magazine. Also here, Matt McGuire from Central Table Food Hall in the Central West End. So Matt, is it all totally independent teams, you know, from the pizza to the sushi? The people that are responsible for those areas, are they related in any way?
They are related loosely, but they all have to sort of stand on their own during each service. So they communicate actually via headset to bring the food to your table at a proper time. But they are sort of independent teams on their own. Each station has a set of cooks that works in that area all night.
Well, Lagaya mentioned the artisan aspect of it. So who are you working here with locally and as far as local products and things?
Salume Beru, so Ben Parimba and Mark Sanfilippo's are predominant in the store. We've been lucky enough to have Fox River Dairy help us get lots of local cheesemakers, whether it's Marcoute Creamery or Bridgefield and some others from Illinois, Indiana, but quite a few.
And how about the talent that you have? And I know some people came from out of town, didn't they?
Yeah, three of the guys all came from in mass sort of together to do the project with us. Two of them are from a restaurant in Brooklyn called Roberta's. So our head chef, Nick Martinkovic, is from Roberta's, was the sous chef at Roberta's. And John Brex was also from Roberta's. He was responsible for making pasta there, and he was responsible for making pasta for us. And David Rosenfeld, who's the sous chef, worked for their sister restaurant in New York called Blanca, and he joined us out here. So all three of them are transplants.
Well, I have a menu in front of me, and so even though there are different stations and so forth, everything's on one menu.
Correct.
Now, that is what you are looking at is the dinner menu.
Okay.
So you don't see a menu like this at lunchtime. You would see on the boards or
it's
whatnot.
It's broken up. Correct.
You know, what your choices would be.
Because at dinner,
day.
You sit down, you order off a menu like you would traditionally, but that's not the case at lunch.
Correct.
Correct.
Right. Well, since I'm looking at the dinner menu, could I just mention a couple of things?
Sure.
Under small plates, slow roasted market beets. How do you make those? Those look good.
So those are salt roasted. They essentially take a lot of kosher salt, egg white, and put some aromatic herbs, and then they'll put some citrus, and they make a slurry with the salt and bake the beets whole to roast them. And if you've never had beets baked that way or roasted that way, they're sort of revolutionary.
LaGaia, I know that you're very thorough, but you haven't tried everything on the menu.
No,
yet, have you?
No, I've only been able to try a few things.
What have you
on
tried?
The pasta side, the gnocchi with the Benton's bacon, little neck clams, and tomato is really. I would highly recommend that that particular pasta dish. I have had the bone marrow that you know we enjoy that very much. It comes with the grilled bread and there's this watercress and shallots on. It's very lovely. I did get the house-made tofu. I think that it's important to recognize they have a number of options for vegetarians, and that's beautifully made. It's very silky. There's and it comes with the almond milk and the snap peas and sesame. It's a delightful dish. That's on the cold plate side for small portions. What else have I had? The Spanish octopus, delicious, with a fennel and tomato, striking presentation on that one.
There's another hot plate. It's fried cuttlefish. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, cuttlefish is actually something that's sort of traditionally used in Japanese cuisine. It almost looks like, on the plate, calamari. It's new to me as well.
Under the pizza and pasta section, you have prosciutto as a pizza topping. I've never heard that done before. That sounds interesting. And what's this dish? Is this a pizza? I guess it is, or a flatbread. Gooseberry and lamb?
Yeah, so gooseberries are like ground cherries. They're seasonal now. They're like almost have a paper husk like a tomatillo. And they're sort of a sweetness that pairs nicely with the lamb bacon.
And I'm a huge sushi fan. Sometimes I eat it every week.
Oh,
so
well, we're super
this looks
excited
interesting
for the,
to me, huh?
On the sushi side, one of the things, as we were saying, you know, that they brought in Matt McGuire to do this, and Matt is already so well-known in the local food community. And it's neat that Matt has been able to then go off and tap some other local talent and bring them on, particularly as consultants, one being for the raw sushi / sushi bar is Elliot Harris, and folks around town know him because he owns Chop Shop. So he's a chef. He used to be at Miso and Merrimack, and he is the one who's helming up some, you know, great sushi offerings that are on the backside here of the menu. Delicious, but it's exciting that we don't just have an ownership group from outside of St. Louis, but instead it's very much embracing local talent and using all of these local resources to really, you know, let St. Louis shine.
So what's maki? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Is that just a form of sushi?
Or? Yeah, that's just the traditional word for like the rolls that you would have. So the maki, and especially maki, they're the rolls that you're used to with the nori wrapper and the rice, and then it's sliced. It's just the term for what the roll would be.
And you have quite a wine list. Talk about that.
So I wanted to keep the wine list relatively affordable and kind of lighthearted. It's not super serious. A lot of the stuff is definitely food-driven. And it's all, hopefully most of it's very sustainable. And they're just the most wines that I like very much personally. So I can sell those easier.
Well, so what's the deal on reservations? I guess none at lunch. Do you take them at dinner?
Take them at dinner for sure. Mm-hmm. And exactly right, none at lunch. So definitely for dinner, though.
That's Matt McGuire, Central Table Food Hall. That's 23 South Euclid, which is right off Forest Park Parkway, right? And LaGaia Figueres is here from Sauce Magazine. Just in closing, though, LaGaia, this is for you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know that if you guys are very thorough at Sauce Magazine, but if you miss something, you know, food-wise that's happening, you'd want me to point it out, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. You tell me. What am I missing?
Morel mushrooms.
Morels?
The season's just about over, right?
Well, yes. Are you a morel hunter?
I am the benefactor of a morel hunter. I have a friend, and you know, these people take it seriously. I don't know what you know about this, Matt. Probably a lot. But, you know, they map it out all year.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
They have, what, 2-3 week window or something?
Yes, correct.
That's very little.
Where the weather conditions have to be just right, and you also have to be right kind of trees, right kind of place in the forest. And mm-hmm. I have a friend that goes out for 4 or 5 hours a day for like 3 weeks.
Yes, and they keep their locations quite guarded.
Mm-hmm. I've been eating morel mushrooms in different forms every day for the last 10 days.
Well, I'm glad for you. I don't think that we missed it, but I thought you were going to tell me I missed a restaurant that was opening.
No, I never see them on the menu. Does anybody have them ever?
It was a kind of a down season locally for morels. But yeah, we're just actually getting them in now.
I have 8 pounds in my refrigerator right
That's
now.
Great.
Wow.
What do they go for? Someone told me an incredible price. I didn't know whether to believe it.
What were you quoted?
$50.
A pound? Yeah, that's about right. $40, yeah.
Well, I was thinking of you guys this morning before I came.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have a package of morel mushrooms.
Nice. It's beautiful.
I don't know if that weighs out to be a pound.
Wow. Many things.
Yep.
You know how you might make them?
I like to keep them pretty simple.
Exactly.
Dust them in flour a little bit, shake them off, a little bit of butter, olive oil.
I put some on a margarita pizza. That was good.
Oh.
Also good in fettuccine alfredo.
That would be fantastic.
All right. Well, anyway, I can't wait to try Central Table Food Hall in the Central West End. Matt McGuire, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And LaGuy Figueres, always a pleasure to see you from Sauce Magazine.
Thank you very much. And reminder, tonight is the first night of Food Truck Friday. Starts this very evening, 5 to 8, in the West End of Tower Grove Park. And this year, an after party has been added after. And that's at Sasha's on Shaw.
Great. We'll see you or someone from Sauce Magazine next month. Thanks again.
We shall.
Thank you.
Coming up next, mystery writer Elaine Veitch. This is St. Louis Public Radio.